Hello, everyone, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier podcast of LRMonline.com. My name is Nick, and today I'm joined by Tanya. How are you, Tanya?
Good morning. Good morning. It's Sunday.
What day are they listening to this on?
Monday. Well, it's going up on Monday. I don't know what day you listen to it. Hopefully you listen to it repeatedly. You find it just that interesting.
As long as we had our weekly reminder of what day of the week it is, it's just helpful for all of us. So, last week we didn't have a real show, because I had COVID-19. As my dad said, I was a COVIDian. I guess I'll always belong to the COVIDian race now at this point. I'm as one of those few who have had it. Well, few. I haven't met anyone else who has it. But this week we actually have real content, including what we were going to talk about last week, Bad Education, the movie on HBO starring Hugh Jackman, as well as Justice League Dark Apocalypse. Is it Apocalypse War or just Apocalypse? I can't remember.
Apocalypse War. And glad you're back, by the way. Don't blow over that so quickly. I'm glad you're on the mend and recovering well.
Thank you. Yeah, it wasn't as bad. I didn't have the worst case. So
that's a relief.
Yes, I am also relieved. So before the show started, I said, which one do you want to start with? The most interesting one or the less interesting one?
And I said, I'm curious to find out which is which, because the last we spoke in, you said you watched Bad Education and liked it. So, yeah. Which one were you talking about as far as starting with the least interesting and working to the most interesting?
Bad Education, working with Justice League Dark, because I love John Constantine.
Excellent. We are on the same page.
Yeah.
So what's your non-spoiler review of Bad Education?
Okay, so this is a true story I didn't know, which is the way I like it when I watch something. Or like,
oh, yeah,
not...
I forgot. You can't spoil a historical event. Never mind. We're going for it.
Okay, let's do it.
We're doing it.
So the overall event is the Hugh Jackman... What's his name, like Frank or something? I never remember character name.
Cassione? Yeah. Something like that.
He's the superintendent of schools, former teacher. You know, he legitimately cares about his students. You get the feeling, even through the end. But what he doesn't care about is using the money from the pocket of the school district for unnecessary things, like buying his gay lover a house or, you know, going first class to Vegas with two seats, even though he's only supposed to be going alone. And then I think Allison Jenny is the other main actress in it. She's what would you call it? Is she like vice or assistant superintendent?
Something like that. Or like, I don't know if she was some kind of treasury secretary or something on that order. Or maybe that was Ray Romano. No, that was the other guy who was the auditor. But yeah, she was some sort of assistant to him.
Exactly. And she spent even more on worthless stuff. I think she spent something like $44 million or something, and he spent, I don't know. At the end, it says exactly how much was spent by either of them. And it was like, whoa. And meanwhile, like, they're talking about, you know, adding a sky bridge to the school, and kids are excited about that, supposedly kids.
and the ceiling is still leaking.
Yes.
Even though he's pocketing all this money, like, there's still major repairs to the buildings that aren't getting done. But nobody notices, because he's such a positive influence on the students, and the students get good scores and go on to great colleges. So people are kind of just overlooking the fact, because he's so warm and cuddly, that, like, where's all this money going?
Exactly. He has like, charisma coming out of his ass, basically, if that's an expression. But, yeah, I mean, the beginning opens with Ray Romano reading, all the schools the high schoolers are going to. Like, we got 5 in the Harvard or blah, blah, blah. And yeah, Hugh Jackman's scene is turning it all around and, you know, giving it a better image just through even his own image. And then he kind of starts off trouble himself when he encourages a student who's working for the paper to dig deeper and not just write a fluff piece about the. Really, he starts it all off by being an encouraging, you know, teacher who wants everyone to do better.
Until
he gets in trouble. So what were your thoughts overall? I basically just gave the plot more than my thoughts, so you start.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
How charismatic of you. So before I watched the movie, I read like this, the briefest blurb about what happened to the guy. And apparently this was the largest school-involved embezzlement scandal in the history of the United States. That's how much money this one man and his partner stole. And the thing that kind of, I was already put off from watching this movie before you asked me to watch it, just because of what the outcome was. And the outcome was that he got less than 4 years in prison. Like, I think he pled to like 4 to 12 and he did like 4. And he, because of some sort of loophole, he still managed to get his pension. And so he's getting $173,000 of pension a year from New York State. And so just because of my personal politics, the first person I thought of was the woman who got 5 years in prison because she used an alternate address to get a kid in a good school. Guess the ethnicities, because I'm not going to say them. So whenever I like white collar movies where people just absolutely grotesquely what I call get away with, like some that's some crazy shit to get away with. And I think four years
in prison. Steal that much money.
And still walk away a wealthy person. I would still call him a financially comfortable person.
Oh yeah.
I don't. It's hard for me to do what they wanted me to do, which getting to the review part of the movie is. They want you to see him as a human being. They want him to. They really work very hard to make him absolutely likable and endear yourself to him, and then see him as this flawed, complicated person who made a mistake. And so I love the note. I love that he went really in on Allison Janney when he was still trying to cover up his bullshit when she got busted. And he called her a sociopath. And then she left him a note. I'm not the one that's a sociopath, motherfucker. I'm paraphrasing. But that was basically the essence of that note. And she's 100% right.
Because wasn't that the whole group conversation that they had for her? Yeah, when he called her a sociopath in front of everyone.
In front of people. When she's like, this motherfucker, like, she knew what was going on. He knew she knew what was going on. But of course, he's not going to come out and say, yeah, I've been stealing too and taking trips and buying houses and clothes and cologne and all this stuff. And so I do think that is kind of almost an American cultural phenomenon where if somebody is nice enough and somebody fools you well enough, they can basically run roughshod over you and nobody gives a fuck. He's colorful. He's charismatic. He's charismatic. He's cuddly. Yeah, that's the whole point. So something about, like, I have a really hard time empathizing with the protagonist in that part. As far as the filmmaking aspect of it, I thought it worked almost too hard in trying to make this like this was some epic rise and crashing fall. Like, I thought they worked too hard with the score. Like, the score was really intrusive at points.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think, like, I wonder if they're trying to go for some kind of Martin Scorsese vibe, because he's the master of taking people who are absolutely detestable and making you like them to the point. Yeah, I would call Martin Scorsese a guilty pleasure for me based on everything I just said. I hate aligning with shitty people, and I love every shitty person he presents because he's that good. So maybe what it was is the filmmaking just wasn't good enough to make me give a shit about Hugh Jackman. I thought he was in prison where he belonged, and fuck that dude for getting $173,000 a year off pension off a school he ripped off there.
Completely agree. Didn't you, comparing it to Scorsese though, didn't you kind of get, I kind of felt like it had a certain sense of humor to the movie itself, or did you get that at all?
I laughed my ass off at how, like, dimwitted a lot of these people were. Like the girl who was talking to him in the, I forget her name. She was, I don't know if she was trying to, like,
to get a new job.
Extort him. No, it was some girl. I think he transferred her to something, and she was about to call him out, and he was like, oh, that's a nice necklace you're wearing. And she just looked so glazed over, like, okay, well, I guess I'll go now. Like, some of them were just really, or the girl, I forget her name. Rachel was her name, the one who was digging into the story. She just always looked like a deer in headlights. But you can tell she was this really astute, brilliant kid who's just like, this shit is so big and I can't let it go. But oh my God, this is the world. Like, this is the world around me. And when she saw him in that hallway, it probably wasn't supposed to be funny, but I laughed my ass off. Because they were both just like, what the fuck are we both doing here right now?
Yeah. Well, I felt there were a lot of, like, good natural humor moments. And that's, yeah, almost like in a, yeah, most of the funny moments were from the Janney and Jackman being just so out of their element in a way. Like, or, like, just so wacky as characterizations of whoever the real people are. Like, almost in, like, sense of humor way without weird dialogue.
Yes. The dialogue was very natural. Everybody gave a great performance. Every single person in this film gave a great performance, especially Allison Janney. I would say I felt lost in her performance. Like, I knew I wasn't looking at Allison Ross and Janney, I always felt like I was looking at Hugh Jackman, which isn't to say it was a bad role. It's just, I don't know if he was just a strange choice. Like, I guess they didn't do a good enough job uglying him up. Like, he's still, like they made a point of saying that he was buying, the guy was buying facelifts and getting all this face surgery. He was a very vain person. Something. Yeah. And then, yeah, so I assumed it was a facelift because they were cutting behind his ears. Yeah. And they didn't mention him being sick. And when he was, like, the last 5 minutes, he was in prison. And he was making that, like, prison foundation, which was, I think, I don't know if it was cinnamon and butter or cinnamon and lotion or whatever it was. He was making foundation because he, even in prison, he gave a shit about how he looked.
That scene was funny.
But it's, yeah, it was, just, I was like, oh, my God. I want to see his ramen recipes. Anyway, I was still just very aware, okay, you uglied Hugh Jackman up. But then he walked out against the other inmates, like, God damn, Hugh Jackman is a big motherfucker. Like, he's so big. Like, you forget, because he was supposed to be Wolverine. I had looked up his height. He's, like, 6'2". So he still seemed like, yeah, you're a big-ass dude. You belong in jail. So it was just, which isn't to say necessarily, just because a person doesn't totally bury themselves and disappear in the performance doesn't make it a bad performance. Like I said that about Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I always knew I was looking at Leonardo DiCaprio, but that didn't mean I didn't enjoy his performance. And it was the same thing with Hugh Jackman. So my politics about what happened aside, I just thought, yes, it was funny in places. Yes, the performances were great, but I thought it was trying to put on a seriousness that it didn't really earn. Like, I don't know if maybe they needed to go more, like, it needed to be a longer movie where they went more into his background so you saw his meteoric rise and how good he was at stuff. It was just more like, yeah, he from what I saw, it didn't distinguish him from any other teacher who gives a shit. Teachers who care, that's kind of what you're supposed to do. So it felt like, yeah, he was a good teacher and a fucking thief. So I didn't walk away feeling anything for him.
No, I wouldn't say I sympathized with them at all. I could just tell that they were going for, like, he's a good teacher. Like, didn't you feel that all the way to the end as far as, like, or was he being, I couldn't tell if he was being more of an ass or if he was being an ass to be helpful in the scene where the mom brings in the kid and he can't pronounce the one word correctly. And Hugh Jackman's kind of yelling at him, but he's also helping him with the word. It's like accelerate or decelerate or something. And he's like, what would a NASCAR do? It still seemed like he was being helpful, just aggressive.
I mean, just imagine 6'2" Hugh Jackman, like, yelling down at you. Anyway, nothing about anything he did. It was like, yes, I believe you that he probably was a decent teacher. It's just nothing about that made me think. It didn't punch me in the gut of how, like, wow, it was this guy who did this thing. You know, I didn't feel that betrayal. And I feel like that could have been more, it could have been demonstrated better. And I don't know if they just decided to focus more on the kid who broke the story or focus more on the humor and, like, just the complete asshattery of everybody else in his circle. But as far as if that was supposed to be their point, I don't think they hit that point hard enough. He came across like, yeah, he's a decent teacher. Good teachers are good teachers. They're supposed to be good.
I just remember, I don't know, another scene where he was trying to explain how it happened, which does not make him a better person at all. And in fact, I felt it was a lame excuse, but it was just trying to, like, show how it works. Where
third
he's like,
sense with the chips.
Yes. It was like one day, it started with, like, a dinner and they're like, oh, we'll fix it on Monday. And no one has noticed on Monday. So then, like, became a bagel and then it became $1 million houses.
Yeah, asshole. That's how thievery works. Like,
you learn you could do it.
That's exactly how you got away with it. That's exactly what. Well, she left a purse open. You shouldn't have left your purse open if you didn't want me to steal from it. That's literally sociopath thinking. So yeah, it was just I'm glad they made his. You know what? I'm gonna back up. I don't know if they made that excuse or if they had him give that speech because it was supposed to make sense. But if it was supposed to be like, oh, now we get it, it did the opposite for me.
Well, for me, so, it just showed he's obviously always the personality of someone who would steal. But the fact that he learned he was able to do it doesn't make him a good person because he started by accident. It's just he learned he could do it. So he's like, oh, fuck, let's just steal, like, just buy myself suits and shit.
Yeah, dummy, that's not a how, that's a why.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
The other way around. That's not a why, that's a how. Like, this is how you went through with this. It doesn't explain, like, why you're a piece of shit. It just, that's the mechanics of how you did it. So, yeah.
Did you recognize her son, Alex Janney's son?
No.
Alex Janney's son. Do you ever watch American Vandal?
I did not, but I heard that reference recently. I can't remember what the context of the conversation was.
It's the show about the first season's about who drew the dicks on the cars.
What?
And the second season, it's all about like these kids doing true crime docs on their campus. So the first one's who drew the dicks, and he's like the main, he's like plays a dumb bully who probably did it. And the second season is who poisoned the punch, which caused everyone to poop everywhere.
Is this a comedy? That's-
Yes, yes, it's a okay. It's a documentary show, and I think I know you why you saw their name. They're I think they're the ones making the Tiger King TV series with Nicolas Cage. So it seems perfect.
Is that really happening? I thought that yes, was like wishful
that's
thinking.
Real. I kept looking at the real sites to make sure it was real because it sounded too good to be true.
That is.
It's gonna be a CBS or a CBS All Access like one season.
CBS. Oh, they are really yes. Man. Okay. So I didn't realize they were doing that bad. But all right. That's where we are.
I bet it's CBS All Access in the end. It sounds more like something they put up there. Like Twilight Discovery.
Like NCIS.
No. I don't think they treat it that. I don't know. Hopefully. Firstly, I read it and I thought it was going to be a Netflix show. But if you're going to cast the two guys who get American Vandal, then you're going to make it. It's got to be comedic. And maybe even part fake documentary. I guess I'm pinholing them in the only two things I've seen. The other movie that I saw him in something else this week. He's a lot older than the last time I saw him. The bully character or the dumbass son who's buying all the Home Depot or whatever stuff. And they're like, he's like, you know, we'll ship it to you for free if you're a, what was it?
Something a high about purchase being a, customer or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, that's what it was. He's also in, have you ever seen 22 Jump Street?
I have not. I haven't seen 22 Jump Street.
He also plays a bully in that. I don't know. I always enjoy seeing him. I can't remember what saw him.
He's just typecast as like big dumb kind of whatever. Yeah.
I mean, he's just one of those guys that looks dumb. No offense. But he looks like the guy who beat you up or like beat me up and rather me.
You can apologize, but he's taking these roles. He's somebody he's must call him. That's your niche. Yeah. So there you go.
Really good when he's just buying all the equipment.
Not which at that point, you're movie, effective, man.
At that point in the movie, I thought it was going to be about the Sky Bridge. And I'm like, oh, he's buying a bunch of shit for that, but he's not a real, you know, contractor. And I was like, oh, wait, he was just buying that shit for himself. And that's when I finally kind of got the movie, not knowing the entire story. And the main school scandal I know about is obviously the rich parents getting their kids into Harvard and stuff. What happened like a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah. What happened? Oh, wait, did Aunt Becky ever get sentenced?
I don't remember.
Did that just disappear with the pandemic? Did they make that shit go away like General Flynn?
Either that or the... Oh, God.
I know Whatsonuts did her 2 weeks and that shit was already whatever. Felicity Huffman, did her time.
They probably got rich white actor privilege and got put away for like 2 weeks or some shit. Or just a giant fine.
Well, I'm sure they learned their lesson like all white collar high theft people do.
I hate white people too.
Aggressive feelings. I didn't say that. I said white crime, not white people.
I hate white people.
I said crime. White collar crime. I am so positive. I'm actually going to re-listen to this audio to make sure I said white collar crime. Because
You did.
Okay, girl.
But I was saying I hate white people. They're the worst.
Oh, in summation, I would recommend it. It just wasn't, I don't think it was as epic as the filmmakers thought it was or seemed to present it as. But it was fine. Because, Jackman is a great actor, so is Allison Janney. So they just, sometimes movies are just great because they're great performances to watch. And Ray Romano.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's hard. I forgot. I mean, we mentioned him once or twice, but yeah, he's also spectacular. I would recommend it too, just because I also found it fun, even though it's infuriating. It's kind of they did try to fit comedy in there and kind of make a lot of the characters that weren't the two main characters were kind of, including Ray Romano, were kind of like parodies of those type of characters, which is maybe why it didn't hit as hard for you. They weren't really super sincere or super believable. But yeah, it's actually the first ever HBO movie I've ever watched.
Really?
Made by them. And it was all because of Hugh Jackman. Though I want to watch the next one, Mark Ruffalo plays twins or something.
Oh, yeah. What's up with all these Avengers doing these sort of movies? Because, what do you call it? Paul Rudd did one that I watched that was just weird.
He did an HBO one?
Where he...
Or he just...
What? No, you know what? It was a Netflix one where he was...
The series where there's two of them? Oh.
Yeah. I forget what it was. It was some sort of cloning thing.
Yeah.
And then his clone was better than him and, like, stole his wife or some shit.
I saw the trailer in the first episode, but I want to watch more.
All of them just have their side projects. And, yeah, if you include Hugh Jackman in that as far as Marvel people. Like, what do you call it? Captain America has his series on Apple TV that I can't watch because I'm not paying extra for Apple TV. I really want to see it because I... Before Avengers, pre-Avengers, I liked him in other non-superhero shit. He's like the only person of the people that we've been watching lately that I have an established history of liking him and stuff. And I can't see the things.
It was mostly comic book stuff, but I feel the same way about Chris Evans. I liked him. He was the only good part of the first Fantastic Four movie. Second one was abysmal. He was in The Losers, which is based off a comic book. And I liked quite a bit, mainly because I read 100 drafts of that script at the production studio I was interning at, so then I felt obliged to see the movie, and I quite like the movie. It's like A-Team that came out the same year, only an hour shorter, which benefits it. And then, of course, Sunshine. He's in Scott Pilgrim.
Comic book thing, yeah.
But I think, like, there was some quiz the other day of, like, who's in, like, the most superhero movies, or franchises, at least, and I think it's him, because, yeah, he's got... People don't know The Losers as one. People forget Scott Pilgrim's one. And obviously, it was in two Fantastic Four movies. Most of the Avengers, well, more than half the Avengers movies, I'd say he at least has a cameo like Thor 2. But
how funny.
And I think
I like those sort of things where they take one character or one actor and they're like, who's the king of the nerds? And I think for a little while, it was that one guy who was in, he was in Doctor Who, he was in Star Trek, I think, he was in Supernatural. And I'm forgetting his fucking name, but like, yeah, or yeah, he was in Firefly also. So I love watching these people who are just like so nerdy in their like sci-fi parts that they're just across all genres and all TV shows.
Yeah, I love it too. And I was gonna say, have you heard the Hercules news this week?
No.
I mean, they're just making a live action one.
I keep seeing memes about the muses, and like I don't have a point of reference for what they're talking about.
Oh, you never really saw the original movie. I've had a song from the movie stuck in my head ever since they announced it, and I had trouble sleeping last night because of this goddamn song. But the Russo brothers are producing, and they want to make it more different than any of the Disney remakes. As in, they're like, we'll use the story of Hercules, but we really don't want to just remake an animated film, which, you know, is smart. Though I'll miss some of the songs, and people have been casting the muses first because they're the most fun characters in the movie. They kind of tell the story and stuff. But yeah. I can only see two actors as Hercules, and they're both Marvel actors since this is all Disney and the Russos. You gotta get Chris Evans as Hercules or Chris Hemsworth as Hercules. I don't know who else you could possibly cast besides Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Even Chris Pratt could do
it. A new big blonde, good-looking white guy. Or, yeah. You know, isn't Hercules Greek? They could get kind of a, you know, what do you call it, vaguely Mediterranean, dark-skinned person to do it.
They wouldn't. That'd be much better. They he is so not. White. I was looking at the artwork from the first movie.
Well, you know, so is Jesus. And one day they'll get a dark-skinned, vaguely Mediterranean person to play Jesus. And you know what? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I'm alive when that happens, when that day comes.
I doubt that film's released in America during your lifetime, but maybe a different country makes it. All right,
Israel cares about doing Jesus movies, and that would be the only place where it would make sense.
That's true. All right, so our second movie, speaking of superheroes, as you heard earlier, we both watched this Tuesday's new digital release, the last movie in the current DC animated universe or whatever they call it, Justice League Dark Apocalypse, which when I watched the trailer, I had no idea why it was called Justice League Dark, because Constantine doesn't even get a single line in the trailer. It's all like Batman, Superman, Teen Titans, Suicide Squad. Do you want to explain the plot to this one?
Oh, super briefly, because we're going to do non-spoiler, I assume, first. Oh, I would say it was a sequel kind of simultaneously to Flashpoint Paradox and to Justice League Dark, only in, I would say, in story it was a sequel to Flashpoint, but in headliner, like John Constantine, even though he didn't have any lines in the trailer, which I don't even remember seeing in the trailer.
I watched the trailer, like, and I was like, how is this Justice League Dark? And I saw the trailer. Because I'm like, what?
Because of the one character, the other character who had a really big part, who, like, I don't watch Teen Titans, so I had no fucking idea what her powers were. So when shit happened around her, I was like, is that supposed to happen? Is that supposed to happen? Anyway, so if you remember, like, the last, like, I guess the post-credit scene from Flashpoint Paradox, when Flash thought he had fixed everything by going back in time to let his mother die, a bunch of, like, fucking flying demon swamp monsters come out of the sky, and then the movie ends. And so basically, Apocalypse War picks up where that left off, where Apocalypse has made some sort of parademons? Like some sort of
parademons, I think, because they're like, they're half Doomsday and half parademon.
With a little Superman invincibility mixed up in them. And so basically, Superman sees this threat coming and he gets all the Justice League together like, we gotta fucking nip this shit in the bud now, because if he comes in, we will not be able to stop him. And then they flash ahead a couple years later and the world is destroyed and people are dead and Superman doesn't have his powers anymore, and it's all the stuff that happens around that.
Show most of them getting ripped apart, or is that through flashbacks?
They show a lot of it in the beginning, but there are flashbacks throughout the movie where they'll and again when they fight them again, they did not spare any gore in showing these demons. I mean, literally rip people in half.
There was a lot of blood. There was at least one fuck, gosh. And there was lots of the use of the word shit.
And a very slow pan of a woman actually ripped in half with her spine hanging out. And I remember, like, I was watching with my dude. He was like, man, they hate women in this movie. I mean, I don't remember what female character it was, but they showed a demon, like, sticking his fingers into her head like he was opening up an egg. I mean, it was raw. It was rough. Should we get into, like, opinions of the non-spoiler opinions?
I'm fine jumping in this. Yeah, if you want. Otherwise, I'm fine just jumping
in. We'll just jump in the spoilers. I loved 90% of this. I'd say I love 95% of this. I was super... So, I would say the first few minutes gave me hints of Endgame. Like, some of it did remind me of Endgame.
Whatever it takes.
He had a very Thanos feel. The fact that the Earth was destroyed had a very, like, you know, post-Thanos kind of feel. Even the way they were kind of ganging up and let's go fuck this dude up. Like, whoever heard Superman talk about, let's go fuck him up. We gotta get him now. We've never seen Superman that gung-ho about, like, just attacking somebody versus being defensive. Which, you know, kind of like watching the Captain America sort of, you know, like, transition into the good guy to we gotta do some shit. Anyway.
Bastard or whatever the line is.
I was broke into the song. Anyway.
son of a bitch is what Cap said.
There was definitely a moment like that in Apocalypse War, and I remember thinking, okay, you are reminding me of Endgame to a comical degree. Do your pivot to make this movie yours, and I will let that pass. And usually I'm disappointed when I have that conversation with myself. And I wasn't, because they did. They absolutely made this their own. I was super invested in what was going on. I was super invested in what happened to all the characters. It was all believable. I fully stand by me saying no matter what Batman is doing, Batman is still fucking Batman, no matter what. I would say the part where it lost me was the resolution. The various resolutions of people's plot points and how they kind of snapped out of the stuff that was going on, except Wonder Woman's. Wonder Woman had basically, like, nearly the only kick-ass. Oh, Wonder Woman and I would say Constantine's kind of redemption was like, all right, I'll let that go. But Wonder Woman had the only kick-ass, like, yeah, she's back. But Damian's death scene, and you know how much I don't like Damian Wayne. I loved him in this. I adored him in this because his reaction and his behavior made absolute sense. He was him, which is, I'm here to do a job and I don't give a fuck, but yeah, I love my dad, that's my dad. You know, like, his death scene, I was like, this is so fucking cheap. And the way, Superman, when he was mixed with Raven's demon, like I said, I don't know anything about Raven, so I was totally lost as far as, like, what her powers meant. The fact that Lois snapped him out, I was like, that is so fucking cheap. Like, I thought it was just so cheap. So it really took me out of it the way everything wrapped itself up. But up until that point, like, what was the guy, the demon guy?
Etrigan.
Oh, my God. So my guy, where he's watching it, he didn't know who he was, and he hadn't said anything yet. I was like, oh, that's the dude that raps. And he's like, what? I was like, that's the dude that drops bars. He just raps. And he stopped rhyming.
He even made a comment about it. He's like, what's the point?
Whatever.
Like, he's so drunk. He's the drunkest throughout the movie.
Which made me laugh, because then even John Constantine pointed out, yeah, he doesn't even rhyme anymore.
Don't give a fuck.
So I just really loved how everybody's character was so deeply affected by this, and including Damian Wayne and everything else that was going on. Superman was just, I mean, when they took his powers, it also gave me more fuel for my, when people say, oh, Batman versus Superman, Superman would beat his ass. And my point, my argument for Batman is always the same. When Superman doesn't have his powers, he's just a dude. He cannot fight. And they he's not that smart, and he can't fight. All he has is his powers, which, yes, that is formidable. But when Batman's not rich, Batman is still a fucking ninja. I will always side with Batman when it's Batman versus Superman in a fight. At any rate, I thought this absolutely verified that, because Superman was just so like, oh my God, look at our brainwashed robot friends. Let's just give them a hug and everything will be okay. And it's like, dude, no, you have to kill these people. They're basically effectively zombies. These are not your friends anymore. And the fact that he had to keep relearning that lesson was really fucking frustrating. But it was good frustrating, because it totally kept me engaged in the movie. So long story short, I absolutely loved it. I just thought those couple of endings were really cheap. And I was expecting some sort of post-credits thing when John Constantine came to Flash and said, dude, you got to fix this shit again, because we can't even live on this planet. Like, they took all our lava. Like, the planet won't get right. I don't know if I talked to you about how much I'm looking for. I hope they do a deceased animated film. And I was like, this is probably as close as we're going to get to a deceased, because the world is destroyed and they turned against each other, which is like the thing that I really was like anxious to see, just gore, them fighting each other. Because like when they fight each other, there's more tension involved, because you know it's not a full-on good guy, bad guy situation. Like, when they fight each other, it's like, who the fuck is going to come out of this okay, you know? So I feel like that is more entertaining for me at this point. But when, you know, Flashpoint did his thing, I was expecting there to be some kind of post-credit thing to, like, de-cheapen all these cheap resolutions they did, and it didn't. It just went off, because I guess this is going to be the last Justice League Dark movie for the foreseeable future.
Well, this is supposed to be the... I think that's why they did the Flashpoint. They kept calling this the last movie of the previous universe, where most of them are connected, except for like that Suicide one is connected to the bigger universe. Obviously ones like Red Sun and Batman Year One and like Batman Dark Knight Returns aren't actually continuity with the rest of them, but apparently the rest are. So when they kept calling this the last one, I'm like, what are they talking about? And they did the Flashpoint at the end. I'm like, oh, they're just resetting again. Like the new 52, so they can do whatever they want.
Yo, for a second, I thought they were saying this was going to be the last animated film, and my stomach, I almost shit my stomach out. I was so, like, scared. What? I was like, oh my God, what happened? And so I started Googling, and I found out what you just explained, which made me feel so much better. I would really just be devastated if they stopped making animated films altogether.
Well, I just thought it was the last DC animated one. Huh? And I'm like, well, I just thought it was the last DC animated one, since they also, like, did Scorpion and stuff. And I'm like, why? They make so much money, but this makes so much more sense.
Yeah, they're just stopping just a reset. Plotline. And I want to say, you know, I wouldn't want to say that the reception or the response to the Scorpion movie was pretty positive. So I hope they continue with that, since other people have good storylines in that whole universe. So I 100%, especially if you love Flashpoint as much as I did, which to date is like my absolute favorite DC film. The next one being Under the Red Hood. So I love Flashpoint Paradox. I always recommend it to people when they say they like superhero movies, but they haven't really seen any good animated films. I always recommend that first. And I thought this was an excellent follow-up, if not an even more gory follow-up. The shit that shocked me in Flashpoint was nothing compared to the shit that had the violence in this one. So yeah, if you like ultra-violence and gore, like I'm coming off like a crazy person, you'll absolutely love this.
Yeah, because I think the first R-rated one they did was Justice League Dark. Or the Killing... No, then they did the Killing Joke. And I think... then they did the Constantine one, which is technically a TV show they cut into a movie and added more footage to. It was like a 10-minute miniseries, I guess. And then they went and made a movie out of it with a few extra scenes. And that's rated R, too. So
this is good, too.
Yeah, I really like this. I have so much to say about it, and they're all, like, positive things. mostly. I agree with you on the Lois Lane snapping out of the Superman out of it, but it worked way better for me when Damian Wayne snapped Batman out of it, when Batman saw himself at the end of the gun and he saw Damian as himself and he was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That worked better for me.
Yeah, Batman's trauma is very deep seated. So yeah. That was like, all right, yeah, I get it.
And then the Wonder Woman thing super worked for me because it was Constantine using magic to control the whip. I mean, yeah, and bring the lasso and bring her out of it, which it's interesting. I saw the same complaint you were talking about earlier. Someone had a tweet where it's like, why is DC killing off all their strong women in this movie? And then the reply was someone's like, what do you think? Not Thanos. Darkseid was going to hug them all to death. But yeah. It's kind of true, but it's not. It's kind of true, but it's not exactly true, because at the end of the battle, you're only of the people who attacked, you're only left with Constantine, depowered Superman, and Raven. So you have like someone who's not even a hero anymore, and then two magic characters, one of which is a female. Everything about
save the day anyway. I mean, they wouldn't have been able to get shit done without her and her demon dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Raven and Constantine were by far the most important characters, which is why watching the trailer, I'm like, okay, this is a Justice League, Suicide Squad, Teen Titans movie. I don't even see how this is Justice League Dark at all. But by focusing on Constantine... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Focusing on Constantine and even bringing, like, Swamp Thing into it, yeah, and kind of making Raven more of a Justice League Dark character. And then the Orchid is also a Justice League Dark character. She was the one with the house, where he's like, she kicked me out of the house, and the house is actually, like, a magical traveling house that he's usually the Justice League based out of. And the only reason I understood any Raven is because I had my roommates in the room, who's only 19 when I watched it. I mean, he's only 19. So when we were watching it, he's like, I remember the Teen Titans TV show. And he was telling me about Raven and her dad. And I was like, okay, I get this, you know. But I don't know. I love that, yeah, on your giant movie that you put at the end of everything, you put my second favorite comic character in charge, John Constantine. Like, one of the worst blokes to be in charge. Because you even see it in the opening scene. I almost feel like there was some extra magic against him, which is why he ran. But yeah, he left Satana to die.
But then, like, it was kind of believable because he is kind of a hot mess.
Yeah.
He's great when he's working, but he's so much a hot mess. But yeah, I love his character. I love what they do with his character. And every time I watch him, I'm like, oh, he's one of those people. If DC had their shit together, they could do a killer reboot for him. Because, like, I didn't hate the Keanu Reeves movie. I just thought he was oddly cast for that, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. Good movie, poor casting.
But he's one of those off-brand atypical characters that DC should be capitalizing on, because he's so fucking weird and so different from what we usually see in superhero movies. Even with like Doctor Strange and his magical universe that's coming about, I think just because he's so, like, as long as they don't make him quippy and they keep him kind of a drunk asshole, like, I think, or drunk chain smoking asshole, I think that would be a great. But I'm so careful. I want to be so careful in saying that, because he would be so easy to fuck up.
Yeah, the TV show wasn't great. The original show he had on NBC, because it still had to fit like the commercial breaks the way like a typical network show would.
There was a TV show?
Yeah. Oh, it's really good. I have it on Blu-ray. I loved it, even though it has to fit into. That's where Matt Ryan first played Constantine, and he's played him on TV in Legend of Tomorrow and Arrow, and voiced him in all these movies ever since. The same guy, Matt Ryan.
Wait, is this live? This is live action.
Yeah, the TV show is live action. And he looks perfect too. You know, he's smoking as often as they let him, which I think is just the pilot. And he's like sarcastic and like doing these spells with his hands, like creating fire and banishing demons to hell. And some of the storylines they use are right out of the comics. So, and then
dye his hair like that. Sorry. I'm like, I remember this.
Because yeah, he was blondish, and he gets more blonde when he's on Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow after Constantine was canceled after a cliffhanger.
Terrible guy job.
But yeah, I just want him to be, they would have never cast him in the movie that Guillermo del Toro was doing back in the day, which would have been the perfect director for Justice League Dark. Because, you know, the movies, they don't recast. They do recast. They have two different Flashes, you know, all that nonsense. Two different cyborgs between, I forgot if the cyborg on Titans or Doom Patrol. I haven't seen either. I think Doom Patrol.
I'm not familiar with Doom Patrol, but I know he's on Titans just because I the only Titans thing I've seen is the Teen Titans Go to the movies.
Oh, but I mean like the live action ones they have on DC Universe, which I'll never see because I'm not going to pay for a service that's just DC content.
Nah.
But what else was I going to say? I can't remember. I don't even know what I was even talking about.
Oh, how awesome Constantine is.
Yeah, but the, now J.J. Abrams is producing a Justice League Dark for HBO Max, not for DC Universe. So I'm hoping since it's still a TV show, they'll bring Matt Ryan along because I'll be severely disappointed if someone else plays him. And you know the two people rumored for the movie back in the day were actually perfect casting, Ewan McGregor or Colin Farrell. But it's still I want to see Matt Ryan because he's just so good. I think he fits in the same category as Robert Downey Jr. as like some of the best, most accurate casting I've ever seen of a comic character.
I don't know enough about him to disagree, but I would be I'll trust your judgment on that. But I think was it Ewan McGregor? No, it wasn't. Oh no, who was it that I thought would be a good Constantine? I'm sure it was Was it Carl Urban?
I'd take
might
him.
Not have been. It, take him, him or I think it was I think it was Colin Farrell. It was some. It was somebody who had like somebody who's like not American, not British. Like who has like that kind of Scottish Irish kind of accent, and that sort of harsh way of talking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think they could do a lot with his part, and I just thoroughly enjoyed this. I would like for you to say some stuff about Damian Wayne's death scene. I'm just dying to hear what you had to say about that. What you have to say about that.
He is like okay. I remember he was burning corpse. That's because Darkseid blasted him, right? Or was it possessed Superman? Someone blasted him with X-ray vision. Well, I remember.
He got going to death.
And he got cooked. Like you saw his like head with no hair and all that shit. And didn't Raven bring him back with a tear or something? And then she was dressed in white.
Right. So I didn't know if like is that it? That irked me, but I didn't know enough about her to know if that was one of her magical powers. Like she has some sort of weird healing ability. But I was more like annoyed.
I don't know, because it seemed like these were. It's kind of the same. Actually, bringing the way they brought Constantine back annoyed me a little bit. Because they never really explained. There wasn't any magic to bring him back, right? It was just Zatanna saying his destiny wasn't over, so he went back. Which actually reminded me of Deadpool 2, where he's trying to talk to Vanessa, and she's like, it's not your time yet. Your family needs you, or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And I guess, like, his neck was still broken in his body, so they didn't really. I didn't think too much about, okay, he's a magical person. He probably crosses between like, you know, hell and heaven and dimensions and stuff all the time. So I thought less about that, even though I did have this funny mental picture of him, like, you know, not necessarily Deadpool, but how when Deadpool gets injured, he still has to heal. And he looks really ridiculous when he's trying to heal.
Yeah.
So I kind of had a funny ha ha thinking about him and his broken neck. But no, I was, even with my completely negative strong feelings about Damian Wayne, I thought they disrespected him by making him saccharine on his deathbed. He is not a person who would look at his dad and say, justice, not vengeance. Fuck that shit. Are you kidding me? That was some corny ass, like, no. And then after he came back alive, he made some kind of comment to his dad about, don't be over emotional. Like, that should have been his last word. Like, don't be over emotional. Just don't do what you gotta do. Like, it's just, I mean, he's not even a kid who's, like, vengeful. He's past the point of vengeful. He's, if you get in my way and I have a goal, I'm gonna fucking murder you. Like, that's not even a vengeance thing. That's, like, I so don't give a shit about life or death that your life means nothing to me if it's impeding me doing something. Like, so the fact that he went that fucking, you're not, like, Jonathan Kent, dude. And you're not gonna be Jonathan Kent on your fucking deathbed. If anything, he's gonna be like, what's that guy from Star Trek?
Which guy?
Like, the one, like any of those characters that are just, like, honor and death.
Yeah.
Speaking of, the fucking, why can I not think of his name? You don't even watch Star Trek, and you probably know who I'm talking about. Anyway, just, like, that, like, going into death with honor and, like, yeah, this is,
I'm the Klingon I died from Next Generation?
Yes.
I don't remember. Worf?
Worf. How could I fucking forget Worf? Yeah, so, like,
how could I know that? I've never seen Next Generation.
You don't even watch TNG, and I forgot it. But yeah, like that. Like, just the fact that he would just bravely go into... He just seems like that would be his character, and I feel like they took something away from him trying to make that moment sappier than it is. Like, I felt like that moment was sappy enough with the fact that, like, Batman snapped out of it looking at his son. That speech he made before that happened was pretty interesting with him saying, you're basically a rape baby that got dropped on my doorstep.
where he's like, that she drugged me and had you or whatever.
Serious shit for a cartoon movie. And I was like, man, that's going to fly by a lot of people. And if that the genders were reversed, it wouldn't. But yeah, basically your mom sexually assaulted me and that is why you're here.
Yeah, your mom drugged me and your grandpa and your mom drugged me.
Wow. Okay. There is a lot of things going on in this movie, like real adult shit. But I mean, those handful of things took me out of it momentarily. But I would still, I mean, if you're into this kind of stuff, I 100%, even with my 95% approval, I 100% recommend this movie.
And like, yeah, I agree. I know my comics enough. Like, I don't know terribly a lot about Darkseid. I know about Apocalypse mostly from like Miracle Man or whatever that one comic was, which is kind of just barely related. It's almost more of a sitcom than a comic book, just like Vision, which is also by Tom King. You know, but I know my basics. And like I said, if you like the Suicide Squad, they're in here. If you like King Shark is a shark. When Jones posted that before I'd seen it, I'm like, what? And then I saw the movie and I was like, ah! And then, like, you know, you like your Teen Titans, they're kind of in there. And some of the characters carry through to the end. You know, Justice League, same thing.
That was the other fucking in-game thing. Yeah, he was the group. That was the other thing that was like, oh my god, stop aping Marvel. It's not necessary. But yeah, that was still fun. He was still funny.
Yeah, remind me of I Am Groot, right?
Yeah, except he ate people, which, like, again, they made it their own. Like, yeah, he's doing this kind of group thing, but he was fucking people up, and every time he did that, it made me laugh. So I'll accept your limited vocabulary because you actually eat people.
And then when they all got kryptonite weapons from the League of Assassins, and he has, like, mouth spray that makes his teeth kryptonite. I laughed. But one of the best parts, and one of the parts truest to Constantine, is on Legends of on his original show, it's on NBC, so they never touch it that he's bisexual. On Legends of Tomorrow, they hint at it a lot. He's always hitting on other male characters, especially gay male characters.
But Constantine is a King Shark is.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And this Rat Ryan had an interview afterwards where he said that he's bi-speciest, not bisexual. Because yeah, the whole X joke was hilarious where Harley Quinn and King Shark are standing next to each other. And I think this is the Raven. He's like, oh my god, it's my ex. And she's like, Harley Quinn? He's like, I'm not crazy. And so he had sex with King Shark.
I didn't even catch that. That went right by me. Because I didn't know that about his character. I don't know what I thought was going on in that situation. But wow. Okay, now yeah, I need so to watch it again.
That was my response to Sir Jonesius, our other fearless host, who will be back eventually. That was my response to his King Shark eats King King Shark is a shark was John Constantine fucked a shark.
I mean, you know, hey, look, I'm not going to sit here and judge. We've all had questionable past relationships.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of Lando and Solo.
And the robot.
Yeah, and the robot. But just even when they were talking about the movie, they're like, of course, Lando isn't just straight. He'll like. People are like, oh, they made Lando gay or bisexual. They're like, no, you don't get it. Lando will fuck anything in the galaxy that moves because he's fucking Lando.
Yeah, and I get, like, probably a more, because I didn't finish Solo, and yeah, I guess. That makes sense for Lando, but, like, I've been watching a lot of Futurama, and, like, it's just, that's not even a thing that's really highlighted in that show. People date whatever. People date robots. People date other aliens. Leela's a mutant. Like, it's not even a thing that's up for discussion. Just anything can date anything, and it doesn't matter. And so, like, yeah, you would guess, like, John Constantine, since he's, you know, beyond human gender, and since he's species and things and stuff. Yeah, that would make sense. I just can't believe how much that joke just went by me. Like, I just didn't even catch it. But yeah, that's hilarious. Because I don't know. Like, I don't know what I thought was going on. Like, consistency humor. He just says shit. Like, he just says things to be controversial. And I feel like, oh, he just, he dated the shark. Who's going to date a shark that only says three words? Or no, four. How many King Shark is a shark? He says five words.
He's beat Groots on that department.
He did. He has a big vocabulary in Groot.
So wrapping it up, I mean, like we said, we both recommend it. I'm actually really shocked that DC would let their final big movie before the reboot focus on Constantine of all the characters, because he's generally not the most popular, hence the cancellation of his own TV show several years ago. But maybe they're starting to learn. That, yeah, like you said, they can have more fun with the less traditional. Like, as One of the first things Constantine says in the Justice League comic, or maybe it's his comic, is I hate capes. And he makes some comment. I think he calls them capes when he's in bed with Satana at the beginning. And it just, it's fun to see him then mashed up where he's like, oh, I have to save the fucking Justice League. I'd rather be drinking in a pub.
Who directed this? Was it Jay Oliva?
I think it was someone like that. It wasn't a name I recognized, but that sounds familiar. I don't look at the directors on most of these. I just know the writer-director of Constantine.
He directed all my, like, I think all my favorite DC, like, animated films. And I don't, yeah, wow, I'm looking at it, and I still don't see who did. Oh, Matt Peters and Christina Sota. Okay, so I don't recognize those names, but hey, you guys did a great job. But I was just going to chime in and saying, like, I think they're just more willing to take risks with the cartoons, and more often than not, those risks pay off.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we ignore the Killing Joke, most of the time those risks pay off.
Oh my God. I'm
glad they took a risk with this. This was very satisfying, despite my minor complaints.
Like, if I wasn't a Constantine fan, I'd be like, what the fuck is this? How come this isn't a Justice League movie?
I didn't know anything about him before Justice League Dark. And I honestly, even when I watched Justice League Dark, didn't know that the Keanu Reeves Constantine was the same Constantine. That's how much I didn't know about him.
It's how badly they screwed up the casting. Yeah. Well, he used to be Vertigo, and then they brought him in with the New 52, I think, which is when Justice League Dark is only a team as old as the New 52, so 2011, if it was even a launch title. It's not like classic, like Titans, Teen Titans, or Justice League, or Justice Society of America, or Doom Patrol. I don't know. It's a weird choice. I'm glad they made it, and they're kind of, you know, letting someone who's untraditional have all the fun.
Yep.
And yeah, I recommend the comic if you haven't read it. Although I own every volume, Rebirth. I own a few issues of Rebirth, but not any of the volumes. And yeah, I wish. I don't know why Deadman wasn't there also, but he probably just would have stolen the spotlight. Because the comics, they have a moving roster. But in the last movie they did, it was Etrigan the Dragon / Jason Blood, the same person. Satana, of course, Dead Man, Swamp Thing helped a little bit.
Oh, was Orchid. That man the guy who used to possess people?
Yeah. And in fact, you should.
Like, kind of funny. Yeah, yeah.
You've seen the Justice League Dark first one, right? The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he's like possessing Batman. Batman's like, quit that shit right now. Yeah, Boston Brand, I think, is his real name. He was just like Robin. He's Robin's parents. He's a trapezist who died. But.
Oh, my God. Nightwing. We didn't even talk about Nightwing. Because he had that one little, like, I know we're done talking about it, but, like, yeah, he had that, like, 30-second, and that was it.
Was that Nightwing, or was that Tim Drake?
I thought that was Nightwing.
I couldn't decide.
Didn't they say Dick something something, like, you don't want something to happen to Dick? Like, I feel like they, like, somebody said that explicitly, that Dick died, and he put him in the thing, and then they had to lock him up. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hear the name, and I just assumed it was Tim Drake. Tim Drake is more traditionally the leader of the Titans than Damian Wayne. But
you might be right, but I'm going to watch it again just because now I want to watch it knowing what I know about Raven and John Constantine's sexual orientation. I want to see if I pick up any other jokes.
Well, cool. I guess we've said everything we want. Anything else about either film?
I look forward to what's next for them. Like I always do. Hopefully they'll continue to take more risks with characters. I think I'm going to start calling that the Iron Man Gambit. Bet on a character that's really obscure, and you might come out with absolute gold.
And then they take a giant risk, like revealing his identity, which I don't think it happened in the comics until it happened in the movie. The I am Iron Man moment.
Oh, I thought he did. I thought like
definitely
that was
not
part
for
of...
like the first 30 years or something. They always said that
he was the
Iron
body
Man. Well, they always said that. I remember reading the first Captain America comic post, like, you know, actually bringing him back, not the originals before or during World War II.
Right.
He's just all the Avengers are out and he's just hanging out in Tony Stark's mansion. He's like, yeah, it's great that this random billionaire Tony Stark is funding the Avengers and Iron Man and stuff. And you're like, come on, Cap.
But wasn't it supposed to be like a in the comic, like kind of an open secret because they were called Tony Stark's Iron Men? Like, it just the fact that who was in the suit was kind of, they didn't know it was him, but they knew it was his stuff.
I think in the comic for a long time, it was the same as the ending Coulson tried to have him say in the speech, where he's like, that was my bodyguard.
Yeah.
I think that's how they treat it for a long time in the comics. I don't know when he reveals his identity, but I remember that being one of the I mean, we're a little bit off track, but I remember that being the most shocking part of the movie. Especially yeah, like after seeing Spider-Man.
It was definitely the most shocking part of the movie, but I feel like somebody told me that was kind of his deal, that he was that much of a arrogant asshole that it was kind of a thing. But yes, taking risks, because nobody saw that shit coming, and then nobody saw Samuel Jackson walking out of the darkness coming, and now we're back on that. But you know what? I think that's a testament to how good Apocalypse War is, that we're talking about what I always consider my favorite Marvel movie. So I think it's in good company. That was a really good movie.
Yay, I'm glad. I knew you'd agree to watch it, but I didn't know it was out this week until like Monday, and I was like, oh!
That's not even a thing that you have to talk me into. No. Like, yeah, we could have spent the whole hour talking about that shit. I'd have been fine.
I knew after Red Sun and Scorpion that you would be down immediately. All right. That was another fantastic episode of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Tanya, where can the good people find you?
Home. You know what? If you want my email address, listen to an old show. That's where I am. I'm being passive aggressive. If you really want to talk to me, listen to some more shows and get it from there.
Oh, snap. And I'm Nick.
Oh, no.
You're making me dead.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
I'm at LRM _ Nick on Twitter. I'm hopefully grown up. And, of course, listen to all the great podcasts here on LRMonline.com, wherever podcasts are served, sort of thing. I'm not going to list them all off this time. You know where to find them. There's even a nice little widget on the main page where you can just not even click on an article, and you can just listen to any podcast you want via Spotify or just in your browser. And I guess with that, we're here every Monday, but hasta lasagna.